The person we wanted to speak about today is somebody whose yard site was actually Friday. This is somebody whose life is really, I guess, one of the most extraordinary lives. Very short, but extraordinary lives. It was the Ramchal. Chofov Ir is his yard site. He lived basically 40 years, maybe 40 years, and his life was incredibly tumultuous. I guess, briefly, let's just first make a sketch. He was born in Italy, in Padua, in 1707, and he was Nifta in Eretz Yisrael, 1747. He was a tremendously prolific writer. He was near, the people wrote of him terribly, put him charamim, extraordinarily tumultuous life. We'll go over a little bit step by step, and we'll get a sense of what was going on and so on. First of all, it's important to understand the Tkufa. The Tkufa was coming in, Shapsi Tzvi was active in the mid-1600s. In his wake, there were a whole bunch of false Mashiachs. One in particular came not too far before his life, and a lot of that will play itself out. So he was born in Padua, and all we know is we don't know much about his early childhood. He had a Rebbe who would stay with him through the rest of his life. There were two Gedolim that were important and supported him in most difficult times. The first one was named Rabbi Yeshaya Basan. He wrote a Sefer Tshuvas Lachmei Toid, I think. That was his Rebbe, his immediate Rebbe. And then his Rebbe had a father-in-law, Rabbi Yomin HaKoyen, who was a very big person. He was a Talmud of Moshe Zakut, who was a big Mekubal. Those were the two main Rebbeim, or people that at least held of him. What we do know is he grew up in Italy. Italy, fascinatingly, they people there were very educated. There were also some interesting things about, they were very friendly with the Goyim, the Jews, the Goyim, but he was educated. He studied, he knew languages, knew a bunch of languages. He knew a lot of, he had a university education. By the time he was 14 or 15, he knew Shas, Poiskim, Zohar, Kisra, Rizal, backwards and forwards. He was an incredible genius. And at the age of 15, his Rebbe left Padua, and he was basically on his own. He joined a group of a chabura of people that were looking to be Oyved Hashem, L'Shem Shemayim, to be Oyved Hashem and to be Mesakin, the Shechina, the Golos. They had Takonis, maybe we'll see soon some of the Takonis. A lot of it centered around learning Zohar and being very, very, you know, kind of close group. At the age of 19, he got Smicha and so on. At the age of 20, something incredible happened to him. He had a revelation from a Malach who began to teach him Torah, and so first it was a Malach, and then Eliyahu HaNavi, and other neshamis came and started teaching him Torah, and he wrote it down. He wrote down a tremendous amount. He had one sefer on Koheles, a new Zohar on Koheles of over 800 pages and going strong. He had on Chumash up to Parsha Vayeshev 500 pages. It was incredibly prolific writing, but it was all b'shem a magid. A magid would come and tell him. Somebody would, a neshama, a malach would come and teach him. He had a group of these talmidim. This chabura became a little bit bigger, and he wrote, and they were in awe of him. I mean, they would see him, and we'll see soon a description of. They would see him fall down on like on his table, and then for a half hour he conked out, and then he would start writing prolifically. This is all the source material for all this. I should have been mocked him. How do we know all these things? The best marker for all these things are always letters. The letters of Ramchal came out in a few editions. Each one has more. And these are letters from the Rachal to the Ramchal, from his Rebbe to his Rebbe. His Rebbe kept most of these letters. The edition I'm using is called Igus Ramchal, put it out by Mechon Ramchal, and Rav Shirazi put it together. And they were in previous editions, most of these letters existed. And that's as best source material you can possibly get. And all sorts of documents, we have them. It's not so long ago, it's less than 300 years ago, we have the materials, and this is where it comes from. So his Talmid and the scribe, he had a Talmid who came from Europe, from Vilna. This was in Italy, which was sort of Sephardi, basic kind of Sephardi. He wasn't a Sephardi inside, but it was Sephardi. And he came from Poland, and he wrote back letters. He came from Vilna, I think. He wrote back letters about, it's amazing, I never believe what kind of Rebbe I have. He falls down and he gets these Giluyim, and he writes these new Zohar, and he wrote new Tehillim and new Tfilas, and he's only 22 years old. The letters created a ruckus back in Europe, and people, Rabbanim, started getting extremely nervous. What does it mean somebody 22 years old is writing his own Zohar Kaddish, and he has Magidim and Malachim, and he's trying to bring Mashiach? It was incredible. The person who came out strongest against him was somebody called Reb Moshe Chagiz. Reb Moshe Chagiz was a Yerushalayim Yid who ended up going to Europe to collect money. He was a Yid, a very big Talmud Chacham. He wrote a sefer called Likut HaKemach. HaKemach is Rosh Tevis HaKotten Moshe Chagiz. And it's like a sort of a collection of Mar Mekomis on Shechar Aruch, on, you know, things that were printed later. A chashuv work. He was a Yid, a very, very big Talmud Chacham, a speaker. And he had led the fight against another false Mekubal Mashiach, whose name was Nehemiah Chiyun. Nehemiah Chiyun was a Shabtai Tzvinik. Even though Shabtai Tzvinik was dead, but the movement wasn't dead. He was a smart operator, Nehemiah Chiyun, and he was kicked out from a bunch of places, but he would always manage to slip back to a different city, and Prava Kabbalah, and Prava Nistoris, and so on, and people fell for him. And Reb Moshe Chagiz was one of four against him and succeeded in getting him thrown out. So he undertook the battle against Ramchal with full vehemence and very, very, very strongly against him. The Rabbonim back and forth, most of the letters are letters back and forth about this. They are, most Rabbanim at first seem to be kind of, they don't know what to make of it. Reb Shaya Basan and Reb Yom HaKoyen defended him. Reb Yom HaKoyen sent him a letter. He held Ramchal so much. Reb Yom HaKoyen was a very chashuv person. He was a Talmid Moshe Zakut, and he was considered from the Zkana Mekubalim. And he, of all the Rabbanim, he was like most Achnoah, and he asked Ramchal, why is he suffering so much himself? About Rabbi Yom HaKoyen himself had a lot of Yisurim, he was dying, and he told him that his neshama is a Gilgul of Akiva ben Yosef, and what he did wrong, and so on. But he was the only, most of the Rabbanim went from being neutral to antagonistic. They said, first of all, the tainis were, a lot of his hanhagis were strange. First of all, he wasn't married. He didn't get married until he was 24, 25, which was extremely unusual. And one of the things that's, first of all, getting married is a chiyuv, it's a mitzvah. People got married young. It means that you sit Pektusha Batara when you're married. Somebody who wasn't married was suspect, and certainly someone who wasn't married shouldn't be oisik in these inyanim. Two, he was in Chutz Laretz. In Chutz Laretz, they felt you can't have Magidim come and teach you and so on and so forth. That's not, in Chutz Laretz, it doesn't happen. Third of all, he didn't have a beard. He cut it with scissors. He clipped his beard with scissors. He had a reason. I guess I'll pick a bowl for some reason, Chutz Laretz, but he did it, and that was very, very strange. He wasn't nizel in Tefillah Erev Shabbos. He said he doesn't need it. They did not like no sigufim, no tanesim. They were very, very, they didn't like his anhagis. They felt that he was very haughty and arrogant. He says, like he writes, that, you know, that Rizal wasn't given permission to be Megalit. I was given permission, that's why I'm writing it. They felt a 22-year-old, and I mean, Darizal and the Zohar Kaddish and in all of these Sfarim there of the Zohar Kaddish, there would be passages of Shevach to him. Pasach Elyon, he said that Ramchal is so chashev, and he's a precious neshama. Hakadosh Baruch Hu chose him to gala so much. Didn't like that. Didn't like that he hopped a lot on Mashiach. He kept saying that he's going to bring the Geula, and they're doing things to be Mesakin and make Tikkunim for the Geula and so on and so forth. That was very suspect. And so on. They felt there weren't any Chidushim. They said that basically things he wrote are no Chidushim. To which he responded, you don't begin to understand. If you think that what I'm saying has no chidushim in it, it's very clear and it's very lucid, but it's full of chidushim. They were not happy about that. It was extremely tumultuous with letters back and forth, with sharp letters against him, and so on. Most of the rabbanim who wrote against him sharply had never met him, never seen him. It wasn't possible in those days to meet. But everything they heard, and there was no denials to it, you know, it wasn't as if the facts were off, was not to their likings. They all felt, listen, we'd been burnt once, twice, three times, four times, five times. 100 times have to be burnt before we recognize these characters. They're young, they form a cult around themselves, they speak Kabbalah all day long, they have Giluyim, and they're working up Mashiach. It's a pattern. We've burnt enough times, we need to. His Rebbe still defended him, and they agreed basically to have, he took a shavua at the age of 23 that he would never stop making any Sfarim written b'shem a Magid, Zohar Loshen, and so on, and Kabbalah. He was Mekabel on himself, with a shavua to do that. He then next kufa of his life. So he spent a little bit more time, and they still were right of him. He got married, and he spent some more time learning with his chabur and so on and so forth. At the age of 28, he realized that in Italy he's never going to make it. The Redifas were too difficult and so on, and he went to Amsterdam. They were machrim esfarim in Italy. They felt that he had overstepped. He wasn't keeping his word, and they took his esfarim, and half of it they burnt, and half of it they buried somewhere deep. And he realized that he's not going anywhere. And he went to Amsterdam. And in Amsterdam, he managed to find a Sfarim. He then spent about 10 years in Amsterdam, more or less in Bimnucha. He was adored in Amsterdam. He had Talmidim. He wrote some of his things in Amsterdam, and he was very, very, he was very Matzliach. At the age of 36, he went to Eretz Yisrael, and at the age of 39, he was Nifta. Him, his wife, and his kids from a plague. That's it. He they actually, it's mekubal that he was buried in Tveria next to Rav Akiva. There is a document of the Rabbanim in Tveria to Chutz Laaretz. They write that the great tzaddik and goyen, the Ramchal, was nifta. People should make a spadim all over, and he's buried next to Rav Akiva, and so on and so forth. There was another village, I don't know how many kilometers away, that claimed in sort of a Kiryat Tzaddikim brochure that Ramchal was buried there. It doesn't seem right. I mean, the other Rabbanim, the other people were in a town that was putting out like a tourist brochure, and that's why they wrote Ramchal's buried there. This was a Levaya notice where basically they asked people to say Espedim. It sounds a lot more like his emes. That was his life. It was a life of turmoil. It's really hard to understand why it was in Skabel. I mean, most of the Rabbanim were against him. The two things that made him possibly why it became Niskabel and Kal Yisrael was, first of all, the Vilna Goyen. We don't have a direct writing of the Vilna Goyen, but in Tosfos Ma'aser Rav, it's one of the Ma'aser Rav that came out, and there's another sefer written by Rabbi Yisrael Rosenstein. He was the Lomja Mashgiach. He has a Maseiris also that when the Goyen saw himself as for the first time, he paid a lot of money to buy it. He said if the Mechaber was still alive, he would walk to meet him. He said there's not an extra word in it. And the Goyen was extremely Marechit. And most of the other Chassidim also very Marechit. So the Goyen's Haskama, you can't get better than that. In Rabbi Yisrael Salanter made Mesil Sesharim the cornerstone of learning Musa. That was considered the best Musa Sefer. In Kelm, which was a Talmud of Yisrael Salanter, they took the Ramchal's Sfarim in quasi Kabbalah as the important Sfarim to learn to understand this inyan, like the Das Tunis and the Derech Hashem and so on, and in some of the deeper Kalach Pisei Chochma, they took those Sfarim as being very, very important Sfarim, and this was something that people learned who were serious about understanding a little bit deeper. So that became a Yisoid Musad. The Ramchal became also, and the people from the Goyen's Cheder, like the Leshem, writes about Ramchal that Ramchal's work is extraordinary. He disagrees strongly in certain areas, but by and large, Ramchal was considered to be one of the giants. And that's where it became Miskabel and Mekubel and so on. The Sfarim that Ramchal wrote range, they're extraordinary. The first sefer he put out was something called Lishon Limudim. And I don't know if there's a modern printing, there's old printings of it. Lishon Limudim was basically, I think he wrote it when he was 17 maybe, it's a book explaining literary techniques. And he goes through it, like different things, different types of songs, different ways of presenting ideas. He quotes from Tanakh to show you how certain ways certain things are given. And Lahavdil from Piyutim, Paitanim, and books, he freely, he wrote a few books that one would call not Sfarim. They were really books. They were books of there was that. There was something called Sefer HaGoyen, which is logic, pure logic. Like it goes through, formal logic. There's something called Mili HaGoyen. I'm sorry, it's called Mili HaGoyen. He has something called Sefer HaMelitza, how to speak well and different turns of phrase and so on. He has plays that he wrote. Some of the plays were like real plays, and some of them more like to bring out a muscle or something like that. That's one type of sefer. He wrote Mesil Sesharim, which is probably the clearest, most lucid Musa sefer, and we know it, Mesil Sesharim. That's a classic. He wrote many introductory works to Kabbalah, like Choyka Mekubal, Lochemes Moshe, Das Tvunos is meant to be Hashkafa. Das Tvunos Derech Hashem Hashkafa. Not the Yoinik, obviously, based on his knowledge of Kabbalah, but they have no Kabbalah terms. They're just totally with our vocabulary. And then he wrote Sfarim that are supposed to introduce to Kabbalah, like Kalach Pesachei Chochma is very famous. And he wrote Sfarim of really deep Kabbalah, which are extraordinary. Adi Bamarim, it's a pirush on the Idra. He wrote Tfilas and Tikkunim and all sorts of things. Most of that is either we don't have it, either that was buried, or it was it just didn't become popular. Nobody, it's not something we touch, and we leave that, and that's it. And I mean, and the stuff that they buried, I mean, if he wrote 800 pages on Koheles and Going Strong, and 200, 500 pages on Tulpash's Vayeshev, I think, and he was going strong and so on, he was incredibly prolific. I want to read some of the letters or whatever the material we have, documentaries. They're incredible. First of all, the Chabura. What did the Chabura do? They would have a round the clock steady limud of Zohar in the Beis Medrash, where it went 24/7 every single day, and before one guy would finish his shift, the other guy would start it. They would, you know, and a lot of takanas about how to make this, you know, make sure that there's always somebody there, and everybody has to give a certain amount of time. That they shouldn't take any money for this, or not expect any schar, or not even think that it's a tikkun for themselves. It's only for the shechina, the tikkun for the shechina, the tikkun for Kal Yisrael. There is a takana of that all of the avodas Hashem should be totally lishma. Without any, this is everything, not only the limud, but without any desire to get anything for themselves, in this world, in the other world, and so on and so forth, that everybody would work together, and not, and there would be no machlokas, no pirut. If anything they know, they find out, to keep quiet about what goes on in Beis Medrash, to be meschazik and avoid, even if people will laugh at them, and so on. And then he has a few things like this. This is what the shul would look like. He said they would never speak anything on the table that wasn't divrei Torah, divrei tefillah. And if anybody would say something, then the gabbai would say tnu kavod Hashem al kei Yisrael, and they would all sit be'ema b'yuvah reses b'zeah. If there's dvarim b'teilim going on, then the gabbai would give a clap and say, "Nu kavod Hashem Elokei Yisrael." Everybody have to keep quiet. If there's machlokas or anything, again, he would say, "Nu kavod Hashem Elokei Yisrael," and so on and on about the midas, the anahagas, a lot of kabbalas that they took on themselves. This was a chabura when he was a teenager. He was probably 15 or 16 at the time when they made these takanas. This is the letter that made him famous / infamous. This is from Cecil Gordon, who wrote a letter to a friend of his in Wien, in Vienna. Ela Odna Godland, so on and so forth, Reb Mordechai Yaffe. He says, "I have something I must share with you because I just have to get out of me." He says, "I want to tell you something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Kaslo Matana Taiva. There is a young person here. He's 23 years old and he's Kulei Kaddish. He's my Rebbe, Kedisha Isha Lekim Kvayt Shem Kodra of Moshe Chaim Latzato. Vehine," he says, "Beishanem Vechetzish and Skalo Magid. It's 2.5 years that a Magid has come to him. A Malach Kaddish Veneira. He's Megala Seiris Neflois. Even when he was 14 years old, he said he knew all Kisvei Arizal Bal Peh, but he was very, very humble, didn't tell even his father about this, and nobody else. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it become known to people. It's a month already that I'm here and learning from him. Asher Ayin Ross of Asher Ayin Shemazois, he's a nitzutz from Akiva ben Yosef, and he has this chidushim and seidus as the Malach gives to him. And this is what it looks like. And he says, and he's working on a sefer, a Zohar, a second edition of Zohar called Zohar Tinyanim. V'cheinu aseida, the Malach speaks from his mouth, but we don't hear anything. The Malach begins to tell him tremendous seidus, and then he tells him, tells Eliyahu to come, and he says his seidus. And sometimes Mitatrin, and sometimes the Rei Mehemna, Avram Sab, and so on. He's already finished a chibur on Koheles, and now he's making 70 pirushim on Kol Yarech Hazaka. He's written 3 svarim, the Torah and the Lashon of Zohar, and so on and so forth. He told me where my neshama is from and what I need to do. And he says there's nobody since Shem Echoi that is anything like this. He said, I can keep talking and I'll just never finish speaking about him. And if you would like to know anything, come and write to him. I'm sure he'll tell you a lot about yourself. That is the letter that his Talmud wrote about him. And Moshe Chagiz notes on it, writes on it, that this is something that must be uprooted totally before this Chas V'Shalom becomes spread, and we need to treat them, the whole Chabura, like Roitfim. And he goes back and defends him back and forth. So it's on and on. I'm just picking out. He says, he says over here, I saw myself the Yehudim. He says he's Miyachad Yehudim. He falls down on his face on the table like a half hour, and then he sits up and starts writing so quickly that it's almost impossible to keep up with his writing. And so on. He writes, the Ramchal's Rebbe was very upset with him. In other words, he defended him. But he said to him, why do you do these things? First of all, why do you need to tell people about this? And why do you need to teach Kabbalah like this? And why don't you just stick to this? His own Rebbe went back and forth. He knew that Ramchal was Kaddish and Torah, but he felt that his Hanhagis are getting him into trouble. And at one point, he gets very angry at Ramchal and tells him off. And Ramchal says he's very hurt that his friend should become his enemy. And very, very. But I want to read a passage from what his Rebbe, the Reb Shai Basan, writes to him. He says, I was so happy with the Torah you told me, but I'm so upset at everything that's going on around you. Omekomkom Tamani says, I wonder, why'd you tell this Rebbe Kusil Gordon about all these things? Don't you know that that's the stupid Ashkenazim and Polonim love to spread nonsense and to talk and to hack a chinik? They always were the ones that got people into trouble. Look at the other svarim they wrote, Emek HaMelech. They make one big mess of Reb Chaim Vital's Torah, and they plagiarize, and then they print it. And he says he thinks one of the big causes of the Golas is that the Ashkenazim, they were the ones who ran after Shabtzi Tzvi. And you see that everything they do is, you know, the balagan and the lies, everything. And that's why Moshe Chagiz is so upset with you, and so on. But his Rebbe was also upset with him. He writes, and then he writes back to him. He says, what can I do? He says, the Maggid comes to me. I'm not saying I'm as big as the Arizal. I'm not saying anything. But it's true. The Maggid comes to me. The Maggid tells these things. This is the Torah. I've never heard anybody. Everybody learns. Why don't they come and see what I do? He said, and let them look at my svarim. Look at everything and tell me if they find anything wrong with it. He said, you know, I can't deny. And then he says, you know, if you'd see how much my chabura steig and grew, and what, you know, and one guy, he said, went from being a kaifa bekairis to being a tremendous Eved Hashem, and so on and so forth. I just want to read also the nusach of the Ramchal Shvua to stop what he wrote. And it's interesting. I don't know if it's his nusach or his Rebbe's nusach. It's probably his Rebbe's nusach. But he writes like this: Yan Rubiyan Kol Ish Hashem Yisrael Yechune, being that every person who is a member of Yisrael, Kafuf Mishubet Al Chachmei Yisrael, he is Kafuf Mishubet Al Chachmei Yisrael, VeChayev LeShmol Devrayim VeLaShevet Sheyeh BiYomav, he's obligated to listen to the people that are the Shevet BiYomav, V'lazik chol atoyer shiru, and to do what they tell him to do. Kichol divrayim emes v'tzedek hazar Hashem pima, because the Torah of the Shefti Ador is emes. V'afilu yoyimer al smol shimin v'al mishu smol. Al kein, al kol divrayim emes ha'elu, that's why I'm going to listen to my Rebbe Avishai Bassan, that when he came here and inquired about all this from writing, he showed me all sorts of things and so on and so forth. He told me to stop writing Sfarim Alpi Kabbalah, and certainly not Sfarim that are written with in the Lashon HaZohar. And even though he says, I feel that this was written by Magidim and Hashem's Kedoshes, but my Rebbe said it's also to be Seimech on it because Shricha Zeika, and it's very easy to make a toss. And even though everyone feels they're good, but I can never be sure myself, and maybe sometime some Michshel will come out. And my Rebbe also told me that the Yichudim that I'm making for it is not Matim for Bezman Azer. Therefore, I'm obligated to listen to the Bichachomim, and I will, I'm a Kabbalah myself, Bishvur Gemura, that as long as I'm a Chutz Laretz, I will not write Lashon HaZohar and from a Magid. I reserve the right to write Lashon HaKodesh, but not with Magidim and so on and so forth. That is his letter. I mean, it's amazing, amazing letters back and forth. And I guess sitting and thinking about that whole tkufa, we really need to ask ourselves, so how do we understand it? How do we understand it? His maisim and the things that he did certainly should have aroused opposition. There's no way in the world, coming at the heels of Meshichei Sheker, who were Machir Klal Yisrael, and there were a whole bunch of them. It wasn't the one closest with the Nechemya Chiyun, and Shabbos Yitzvi was the father of all of them, you know, in the Ruchnistic sense. But I mean, so here, a 17-year-old boy, 22-year-old boy, gets up. He has these seizures, and he starts writing like crazy, volumes and volumes of Zoya style stuff. So should they not have gone against him? And his anhugas are unusual. Not being married at a late age is strange, was very strange. Shaving was strange. Everything about it was, and this constant obsessive Mashiach. And his own Rebbe writes to him, I don't like it, you keep writing Torah about Mashiach. Why? Why was always Mashiach mentioned? It was. So here is someone that the Rabbanu came against him, were in the right. And they were very chash rabbanim. There was Rabbi Yosef Irgas, who was a big mekubal, and there were all sorts of Rabbi Moshe Chagiz, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, of course. Everybody all rabbanim from all over, just listening to it, were very upset with it. And so they're right, but all of them are forgotten. Nothing is left from any of his opposition. The Masilsa Sharm is a living sefer. The Derech Hashem, the Das Tvunis, for those who understand the Adab Amorim, the Kalach Pizrachamon, those are extraordinary Sfarim. Those are Sfarim that don't have equals. His writing, Ramchal's style is incredibly clear, crisp. It has a quality like you attribute the type of writing like the Rashi and the Rambam, where things are so well put that you learn from what he said and what he didn't say, and exactly how he phrased it. And there's a clarity to it. It is incredible. It's Sfarim. He writes in his Derech Hashem, that's all his Sfarim, like when they told him you didn't say anything new, he said if you would look at it and you'd realize how meticulous it is, I've bavurned many kashas just by the way I wrote it. You're not getting it. It sounds like a very simple overview. It's far from it. And you, if you read it, it is. It's an incredible Sfarim. So how do we understand it? I mean, how do we deal with it? How do we deal with the fact that the person whose Torah is considered today the main Torah, I mean, Musa starts with Musa Sesharim, Hashkafa starts with Derech Hashem, and Das Tvunis. Kabbalah starts with classic Pesach Chachma and Nara B'Marim. Those, I mean, let's start with that. But Akapanik, those are. I mean, so how do we understand who was right? You know, how do we get that? And the truth is, it's like all the machlokes. I mean, one of the problems is we don't learn about these things because they're not pleasant to learn about. So every time there's a machlokes, say, oh, what a terrible door, so much machlokes. I mean, the amount of charamas they put out in those days, you know, by hand, was tremendous. I mean, Yaakov Emnos signed on who knows how many. And he's one of them, and I'm chal. They were giants, and it's hard to sit back and say, but I have, the hargosha is that I think it's true about Chassidim Misnagdim, it's true possibly about Yer Messiah, which is Yer Kemden. When there was big machloikas, then that was the only way this Torah could be Mizgala. In other words, because we're in Golas, and because every time there's a Gilui from something else, there's tremendous Sakana. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes opposition. And somebody said, Adam Gadol said, very true, the Ramchal Svarim that should have been printed are printed, and they're part of the Nechassim of Klal Yisrael. The stuff that should have been printed is not printed. The Tikkunim, the Tfilas, the Zayas, the extra Perek and Tehillim, all of that is not, it's printed, not printed, it's not, it doesn't interest anybody, it's not. It wasn't meant for us, and that's that. What it is, who it is, we don't know. But there was a certain, kilu between the back and forth, the Shakta Vitarya, between him and his Misnagdim, this is what came out. Klal Yisrael today has a tremendous iris. Without any side effects, without any collateral damage, because of this back and forth, and I guess machlekesim shemayim is miskayim, seifel iskayim means that the chashas, the Torah of Ramchal that shouldn't be zgala was the zgala. The chashas about it were taken care of by the snagdus. And between the two together, there was a kiyum of something very important, Klal Yisrael. But looking at the life of Ramchal, it's an incredible life. Here was a person who lived just under 40 years. His life was, he shut up as an neshama of somewhere else, off the chart genius. His hekev, his rachvas hadas was incredible. The volume of what he knew from Torah to, there's one letter with pilpul in it, and then he has letters where he's very against the people that study Talmud and pilpul most of the time when they should be learning these in Yanim of Pnimius of Torah and so on. Very interesting hashkafas. But his life was, by the age of 17, he was already Rosh Chabur of sorts, age of 20, he had Giluyim. The rest of his life he spent in turmoil. At the age of 23, he was enmeshed, embroiled in turmoil with fighting Haramis and Xeris and so on, and then died, him and his entire family. It's almost as if a neshama put into our world like a sudden bright light, and then just extinguished. But what we have from it is incredible. If for us, the cornerstone of our understanding, our tfisa of what we call hashkafa, of the basics of Yisrael Torah, is Ramchal. Ramchal was yonik from Kabbalah. The Ramchal structured mind and clarity of language was able to put things with precision that's incredible. And for us, being so small and standing and looking at such bright lights and such kufis, at least we know, at least have a sense of what's before us. When you pick up a Mesilas Yesharim and it sounds very simple, a person should a Zoreh should take stock of what he's doing, should stand. If you understand who wrote it, when we say that there's a lot buried in Mesilas Yesharim, if you understand a lot about the person who wrote it and so on, it has a very different picture to it. we should be zeicher to the haris that he was trying to be megala before his time. It wasn't the time yet for those haris. So mitzvah Hashem, we should be zeicher to those haris bekarim mitzvah.
How did it work out with
the Rosh
Hashanah
Shah Shah's
Amarah? Was it like, give it to him? Like,
what?
He worked for it, right?
He worked for it in the sense that he was, you know, he